Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my radio listeners. This is Dr. Velva Bowles, and you're listening to Get It Right with Dr. Bowles. Today, I'm back after a long break. I'm still on the topic of social justice, finding solutions. I suppose one of the reasons I took the hiatus is I felt like I was spinning my wheels. A lot of talk and no solution. And over the last few weeks, I've interacted with quite a diverse group of people. I've met a new friend who is by way of Google Plus Hangout, which is an international video voice type of communication chatting that allows you to actually meet people around the world and do different things. You can learn a language. You can do various stuff. Excuse me. And I had the good fortune of meeting a young man from Sudan who is studying in India, and we shared some information and had a most lively discussion about world events and worldviews. And then I have a friend who recently returned from a 3-year stint in China, and we often talk about the things the world thinks and sees and how we as human beings fit into that scheme of the world. As a scientist and oftentimes a biologist, I look at how the human race, taking it so literal to be dominant, has done so much harm to so many sectors. If you look at the problem with global warming and you start saying, well, what caused global warming? Why should we care? And the first thing you point at is fossil fuel burning. And then you start talking about the removal of trees and so forth and so on. It is natural, I suppose, in the human instinct to modify the environment to fit themselves. However, the Aboriginal people, Native Americans, the Aborigines and Australia, and I'm sure many, many more. I don't know the names of those in Canada or Alaska or Russia or Germany or China. They seem to have been able to coexist with what was the natural element and not create havoc. In our modern-day modifications, we create and destroy, and we're missing the replace. It has become so pervasive now in our air-conditioned homes and gated communities and privatized clubs and exclusive memberships that we are now in the United States of America living in something that's fast becoming an environment of elitists. In today's discussion, when I say social justice, finding solutions, I can't help but be focused or have to zone in on the utter chaos that's now being called the presidential campaign in the United States. Every time I listen to, look at, read, discuss what is going on in the name of electing a president, the leader, a fearless leader purportedly of the free country, who can say what civil justice should be, we look at who's vying to get that spot. When we talk about for the people, of the people, and all of those heroic words that when you're in civics class or in geography class here in America, you learn America the beautiful, land of the free, I shudder to how all of that is now seeming to be simple propaganda. Just listen, just look. And I sincerely believe America is at great risk from falling from its pedestal in the eyes of the world. At one time, we talked of ourselves as the greatest nation of the world. We had a lot of voice when it came into weighing in on who's our ally, who's not our ally, a threat of embargo or a threat of any kind of punishment coming from the powerful Americans had great national, international meaning. I watched with trepidation as President Obama starting to travel in the Asian countries as his farewell tour from his 8-year stint in the White House And instead of simply saying, you know, hello, Mr. Obama, and the American different types of, I guess you'd say, accolades or appreciatives, he's bombarded with questions about Donald Trump. He's bombarded with questions about the very ugly announcements being made by a candidate who, according to the polls, have a very good chance to become the leader of the free nation. It's frightening. The 2016 presidential campaign has been derailed. The ugly underbelly of American politics has been flashed to the world, and it's going to become progressively more difficult to maintain that Wizard of Oz mightiness where, you know, all the bells and whistles and smoke and gloria, it's not going to work anymore. Too much has been said, too much has been seen. And unless there's some real, real, not artificial, not MBA approved, I was talking to a friend of mine, ever since the Master of Business Administration became prominent and so many people went hungry for it and learned all the little slogans of the great salesman, you know, sell the sizzle, not the steak, and all of this virtual and artificial and trick of hand and trick of words and insistence, you know, go with the psychological instead of the real, the virtual instead of the actual. We've become less human, become emotionalist. A friend of mine in Wyoming is nearly 80 years old, but is sharp as a tack, and I thoroughly enjoy discussing all types of topics with him, recommended that I get a book by Stephen Hilton, who is titled More Human. And I did, and I began to read it, and the opening chapter clearly identify how Americans now have become so fixated on rules and policies and structure that the one element that makes us human is something we are afraid to apply. My mother used to use the expression common sense. And my dad would even look at us if we had done something he thought so out of the range of what should have been necessary. He would ask, do you have good sense? Those comments were really saying there is a boundary over which you do not cross. I've talked to a number of friends, and I live alone and have for many, 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 many years. And things that I do in my privacy, in the private life, it reflects my mindset. You know, those who are very open about nakedness don't have a problem walking about their house when they're home alone with no clothes. I can't do that. It's not that I fear being seen or what someone outside of me might say. It is outside of me to do that. And I think the kind of inherent, what is inside of you, what makes you you, what makes you human, should always be present. Nothing should be able to remove that. There are currently on a lot of the stations, I know for sure on the Oprah Winfrey station own, they're showing slavery and slavery escape types of movies commemorating the tragedy of the Holocaust of the Black American who was brought here as a slave and was broken, or great attempts were making to break them. And in the movie Roots, where they show this white master beating an African man who's trying to claim his heritage and keep his name, and the white master wants him to be called Toby, and of course Kente wants to retain his name, and there's a beating, a vicious whipping and beating, trying to force this man to accept the will of another. When you're seeing that kind of aggressive, hurtful, harmful, mean intent, many will react and say, oh, wow, that's horrible, that shouldn't be. But why don't we have the same guttural instinct when we see the white-collar brutalities? I read something recently looking at a number of people who had stolen money to the tune of, I don't know, $30 billion. It was an outrageous amount of money, and these persons were not going to go to prison. They had had some kind of agreement and discussion. And then I see on the front page someone's gotten life in prison or 30 years in prison for stealing some measly amount of money in some supermarket. And you say, where's the social justice? Where is the outcry? Why is it okay in one situation and not in another? Who are those who can help keep this civil humanness in play? We can't even depend on religion anymore. At one time, religion was our moral index, and according to the historians, the United States is predicated on freedom of religion. And now we've come full circle. Religious, under the name of religion, there are extreme groups. You look at the young man, Mr. Roof, who goes to Charleston, South Carolina, and literally sits in a church with people who are practicing their Christian religion, and upon finishing their prayer to their deity, opens fires and kills 9 people, and he was barely even a man at 21. The question, how someone so young could come up to do something so heinous, and what was the training field for him? So religion has not given us solutions. In the black communities, at one time it were the ministers, and the first that flashes to mind is Reverend Martin Luther King, but few people realize just how young Martin Luther King Jr. was when he started all of his proceedings. He was 27. He was dead at 36 by an assassin's bullet. So it wasn't some seasoned, well-oiled heel older minister. There was no 60-somethings, no 50-somethings who led the fight. Now, some joined after they began. You'll hear Abernathy sing praises to what he did. But the bottom line is there are very few and far between who step up and say, I'm of the human race, and we need to reintroduce the humanness in our decision-making. There has to be a social justice. If not, we have no civilization, because by definition, in order to maintain a civil society, there has to be a established margin of justice. I was watching President Obama when he was in Cuba and then in Vietnam, and each time, I'm sure his advisors and those whomever he's listened to over the years told him, here's your agenda, here's your itinerary. And in these various countries, he starts bringing up how they have trampled on human rights. And when I hear it, I just feel like someone scratching on a blackboard with their very sharp nails. How can you go and discipline, comment, make any kind of allegation? For instance, in Vietnam, you say, well, I'm going to raise this embargo on you that we've had on you for 50 years, and go to Cambodia and say, despite us putting Agent Orange all over your crops, and Vietnam, despite us poisoning the ground where you can't farm, we're now going to lift our embargo. But by the way, we don't like how you're handling your country's human rights. Cuba had some back talk. I haven't heard whether Vietnam did or not. Because look at us, America. We're trampling all over human rights. Zimmerman just made $250,000 selling a gun that he used to kill a 14-year-old black boy, a young man in the neighborhood where his father lived, was seen as an intruder and literally assassinated. And the court said the man who did it stood his ground, no crime committed, and then this man could go and make money off of his crime. There was some decision somewhere where when you commit a crime and go to prison, you can't write a book and make money off your crime. What happened to that? I didn't dream that. It was all this big deal when you talk about the Manson murders and some of the more notorious or infamous killings, saying you can't profit from your crime. But I guess if you first say killing a 14-year-old young man is not a crime, then you can't stop the sale of the gun that was used not to commit that crime. It's amazing. Then we have our candidates. Donald Trump spews contempt for African leaders. I read something recently where he said all Africans are really slaves and that the continent needs to be colonized. I don't know how many countries have fought for their freedom from French and from British and from American rule over these last 200 years to have someone who is poised to become an international figure by reason of being the leader of the biggest free country, saying, now I think we need to go back and colonize you. What kind of ally could you ever establish with someone who has already told you their feelings, have already espoused dispersion of you? And it didn't stop with the Africans. He's looking across the Mexican border saying, we'll build a wall so that we can block these illegal Mexicans from coming into the United States. And you shake your head. It's like, okay, did you know in the 1980s that the United States took a real hard stand to tear down the wall in Germany? That we were saying, get down the wall. How horrible is this? And then you flip around 30 years later and say, build a wall? I'm confused. Are we regressing on every level? You want to enslave Africans. You want to block and build walls against the brown people of Mexico. And you want to be president of these United States. I don't even know how to form a thought of that. You know, what does that really mean? How will it be? You go to the NRA, the National Rifle Association, and you espouse that everybody should have a gun and have it in open carry. And then I'm trying to figure, what life would that be, people walking around with guns strapped to their side? If there was a shot, then there'd be five people pulling a gun. How would you ever know who did the shooting? How do we regress? Everything it seems he suggests is taking us back in history, back in time. If you ever watch the TV versions of the Wild Wild West, and you had the gunslingers walking around with their guns and shooting or having shootouts in the main streets and in the saloons, and you wonder, okay, America's already painted the urban areas as sections where people are killing and drive-by shootings and everything, and that's the thug, then you are authorizing that all Americans become thugs. I'm confused. How is that progress? How is that a better civilization? How did we get so derailed? How is that what can be said publicly and everyone cheers if you said something wonderful? I'm confused. I don't know when that happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how someone with that opinion has now risen out of the ranks like a Hitler. I can't help but compare that at one time, Hitler had lots of followers, and there were those who truly were supportive until his power was indicated, or I should say trumped, only by his cruelties, that it was okay to do this and okay to put them in concentration camps and okay to round them up and okay to take their money and okay. What, you mean you're now putting them in and gassing people? You're killing children? You're experimenting on children? You're killing women? This isn't war anymore. You're annihilating people. You're putting them in gas chambers. You're starving them. Somehow, a little bit of cruelty was okay, a little more cruelty was okay, a little injustice was okay, and boom. When it went as far as he was willing to take it, suddenly he was a monster in the same eyes of those who were permissive, of those who looked away, who did something else, who didn't cry out, and just let it be. The United States presidential campaign, it has become a hotspot for expressing racial bigotry and non-politically correct personal prejudices. The different campaign that Donald Trump gets to is drawing out the venomous, is drawing out those who feel empowered now to be hateful and hate-filled. And some say the news media created that dynamic. And I know I don't watch a lot of television, but on the few times I saw a show that Donald Trump was supposed to be an executive and he was hiring some young assistants or entrepreneurs. I don't know the tenet of the show, but I remember the highlight that people were talking about is when he would say, "You're fired!" And this person's emotion would crumble and they would wilt and go. And somehow there was a feeding frenzy. there was as if that people were excited to see the harshness, the cruelty, and the mistreatment of this individual without any dignity or any kind of prelude or preface that you've done a good job or you've done your best, your credentials were good, I'm glad you came, just you're fired, get out. And that feeding frenzy has been allowed to grow. You see, men cannot be made good by laws of state or nation. And men can easily be made bad when empowered to create laws for a nation. And I gave you an example of Hitler, how he was perceived as a hero by many and seemed to be very intelligent until his cruelty outweighed his intelligence. You see, the acts that are required to acquire power. And yes, power is gained. And I know the saying, no one gives you power, you take it. And that's essentially true. Any strong leader or anyone who has shown what we'd say victorious spirit is someone who pushed into adversity with his fear and still triumph. And if I remember correctly, I was once told that's the definition of a hero. Is someone who is very frightened but does it anyway. We're now at a time where power is its own reward, that it's not power to lead someone into triumph. It's not power to improve, let's say, an economic decision. It's not power to help a fallen comrade. It's power for power. It's the God-like syndrome, the concept of I can do it and I'm better than others and you need to bow to me. And that's very frightening because when power in itself is its reward, then it becomes self-feeding that you can't do enough or get enough power. You continue at all costs to gain power until you're like this nuclear generator that has suddenly just gotten out of control. You have fusion and fission, uncontrollable heat and burn. And that's what I feel like we're now in this campaign. We're heading to a meltdown. The acts required to have power seems to incite this kind of animal instinct, you know, survival of the fittest, winner takes all kind of mentality. And if the people, if the moralists, if the reality people check does not come into effect, if no one addresses this aggressive behavior, it'll proceed to aggressive acts. Leaders must be reined in to maintain a consciousness of human beings. When I was doing pediatrics and we were going through psychiatry, psychology, and human behavior, and we talked about the different levels of maturation, that when a child is 3 months old, they say that's when a child can recognize parental faces and they'll hear them chuckle or they can smile at you, and that's intentional smiling. And then by the time they're 6 months old and they're trying to sit up, they can roll their body over and they start what we call telescoping, to hold themselves up so they can see their surroundings. And this progresses. At 8 months old to 12 months old, they start pulling up to walk and stand and to make that first step. And all of these milestones we can anticipate and we react to. if the child's not walking by a year and a half, many parents will rush to a pediatrician or a neurologist or someone to say, I need some support. If a child's not interacting well by the time they're two, many people will go and ask for help. What am I saying? There is an expectation of behavior. So if we have an expectation looking at the milestones and maturation of a child, we should definitely have expectations of those who are going to stand and represent us. If you were to go to your place of worship and the person who you have expectations to lead you into whatever is your religious thinking, if this person is drunk or loud or acting inappropriate, there are actions taken because we feel they have not met our expectations. Well, American people, I think we have failed to establish appropriate expectation boundaries for those who want to be recognized as a leader of our country. It should have some established criteria. It shouldn't be that just because you want to go and just because you have enough money to spend that you can put yourself in a position through advertisement or foolishness of our common people to say, I will be a leader. And in this role, I can call you names. I can disregard you. I can ridicule you. I can behave in whatever manner I wish. And we, the common people, say nothing. We don't rush to get some assistance to curb that behavior. My question in one discussion with a friend is, should Donald Trump get the presidency based on electoral votes and all other systems we have that are said to say representative of the people's choice, who will be his advising team? He has demonstrated that he doesn't expect, respect, intend to follow anyone's advice. He reacts on his gut knee-jerk response. It's what he thinks and what he says. And I guess my fear is if you don't understand the complexity of leadership, that you are at all times conscious of what you're saying and what you're doing and who's watching and who's not watching, then we are quickly turning over the reins to a maniac, to someone who has demonstrated all the qualities of someone who can have World War III in less than 6 months of his presidency. We are giving someone the reins who the world can't help but see as buffoonery. China has already made a bid to become the global monetary agent. That has been a status the United States have held for many, many years. I don't even know how many. And whenever you did international commodities, its value was listed in USD, which is United States dollars. China has made a bid, and it is clearly being considered for them to become the commodity standard. As we lose such grips internationally, we lose leverage of decision-making. We lose position of whatever else we've had over the time. You can't put an embargo on someone if you're not in charge of the thing you're trying to embargo. I look at all the things that we import. How much do you buy that you look at it says made in China? Or how much you buy and you look at the little tag and it says made in Mexico. What would happen if President Trump, if his dreams are realized, should continue in his bullying manner and China says, nope, we will no longer trade with you. And Mexico say, no, we will no longer make things for you. If we thought the Great Depression was something, see what would happen in the event that should take place. The responsibility of citizens is to hold candidates to a moral standard and make requests that reflect meaningful civil services. We're still debating and talking about transgender bathrooms when we have major issues that are life and family consequence. So what I would say at the end of this discussion with you is please stand up and take notes. establish your expectations along the lines of moral justice and speak out. Don't let this campaign derail United States of America. And with that, I say thank you for listening. And give us some real serious thought. What's next for us? Is this really the land of the free? Is this a citizen's choice? Have we allowed the machine to take off and we're no longer in control of it? I don't know the answer to that, folks, but I think that it's time we started finding solutions. With that, I say take care, and until next time.